Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Up Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host today, Afrida Love. And today we have a very special segment, either way. We will have a guest today, Ms. Keisha Covington, or we will go under the unction and function of the Spirit of the Lord. But at any rate, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Without further ado, I would like to pray, then we're going to read a scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning, and you started us on our way. We thank you for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us to be in perfect peace and harmony with you, Lord. We ask in which you bless something on this segment, something on this line to be said or done that would edify and uplift your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the crowning of our heads from the top to the bottom of our feet, Lord. We're asking you, would you continue to shed light upon what's in the darkness, and would you continue to help us to understand and recognize that you are God, and besides you, there is none other. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the word today. We thank you for each listener. We thank you for each person, Lord, and we're asking, would you continue to bless us and keep us, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. We pray. Hey, amen. And I'm going to read Psalm 103, 1 through 6. And I kind of chuckled a little bit because the Lord is good. We keep going back to this particular verse, and we have remained in Psalms for the past month, which is good, which means that there is God is up to something. Amen. So we're going to read that. 103, number is 1. Let's go all the way to 7. And it reads, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. I have read to you Psalm 103, numbers 1 through 7. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. And I guess I've not made it yet, so therefore we're going to carry on in Jesus' name. And if our guest arrives, then we will entertain questions. And if not, we are going to continue in the word of God, because you never can we never can get enough of the Lord. I want to, first of all, start off by encouraging someone today. And I want to start off by saying that the Lord is good. And I know a lot of people say, well, duh, we know that the Lord is good. But how many of you believe that the Lord is good? Actually believe it. And a lot of people say you don't have to believe that the Lord is good for the Lord to be good, and that's true. But you do have to believe in order to receive your blessings and in order to receive favor from the Lord. So therefore, let us do good unto all men and women, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And before we begin to really dive into whatever the Lord is going to give us today, I would like to just give a quick revelation of what the Lord gave me as I was preparing for this particular ministry, preparing for this interview with Ms. Keisha Covington, who has not arrived yet, but we're going to carry on. One of the things I want you to understand is that in any circumstance, whether it be a storm of life, whether it be a natural storm such as the weather, whether it be just the inner struggle within yourself, always know that we can depend and lean on God. As I was preparing, as I said before the lesson, I was watching television, and I saw that there's some flooding going on in, you know, the Chicago area. Then I looked at things happening in Israel with three young men who were shot and killed point blank. Then I was looking at some Texas, Central Texas news where it appeared that a gentleman had abducted his girlfriend or wife, and she was, you know, it was just a lot of things going on. And it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to continue to say this, and I know I sound like a broken record, but I have to be obedient to God. It is very important that we are consistent in the Word of God. It's very important that we continue to trust and believe in God, because as I said before, just like we don't know the day nor the hour, we don't know what the next second holds for us. And so therefore, we always have to remain prayed up. We can't wait until the storm comes. We have to be obedient like Noah, and we need to begin to build our faith. Amen. Noah built an ark, but God is saying we need to begin to build our faith so that when the storms of life arrive, then we can be ready to endure the storms, and then we can come out with a testimony. Amen. So therefore, we have to build up our faith no matter what the circumstances. And I know it's hard. It's very hard to build something up when you're torn down. That's why we have to pray our strength in the Lord so that we can be built up and so we can be established on the Word and by the Word of God. As I'm looking through the good book, the Bible, there is a verse that I would like to read that the Lord has just given me before we really get into the topics that I'm going to describe to you for our spiritual conviction classes. That's what we're going to talk about today. There's going to be a little revelation coupled in with that, and I just want you to know about it. So here we go. Let's look at Psalm 25. And we're going to read 1 through 10. Psalms 25, 1 through 10. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercy and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will be guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. I've read to you Psalm 25, 1 through 10. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and the seekers of his word. And the whole purpose of reading that is to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And that was a psalm of David. And so we need to trust in God in everything that we do. We have to trust in God. We have to believe in God that he will see us through. Okay? And as I began to read this particular verse, and actually it's not a verse, it's actually part of the class that we're going to engage in for the next couple of months. On my Facebook page, if you would turn to Alfreda Love, that's A-L-F-R-E-D-A-L-O-V-E. On the Facebook page, excuse me, I have a text here. On the Facebook page, you will find that I have created, through the help of God, an online syllabus in which we're going to engage in. And there are many topics, and I want to elaborate on those topics while we have time. And those particular topics are as such. Okay. First of all, a syllabus was created so that you would know the topics that we're going to cover. And it's no secret that we're covering spiritual conviction, because that's what the Lord showed us, and that's what brings people unto Christ, is spiritual conviction. So the first phase of the class is spiritual conviction versus conscious theory of change. And I'm going to briefly, without giving you everything, I'm going to briefly describe this. Spiritual conviction versus the conscious theory of change. We all know what spiritual conviction is. I'm going to be very brief with this because I've told you 100 times, but, you know, we can always have a refresher because we have new people. First of all, spiritual conviction is when Jesus repossesses us from the devil. He repossesses us from evil. Conscious theory of change, right, means that we're conscious. We know the boundaries. We know the difference between good and evil. What happens is, just as we think about soil, what happens is that we come to a point where we realize, okay, am I going to do good or am I going to do bad? If I do good, right, then God will be pleased with me. I will not have a negative consequence. If I do bad, then God will not be pleased with me, and I'm at risk of having a negative consequence. So therefore, because of my consciousness and because the devil has my consciousness in his possession, I am going to flirt. I am going to take a risk at doing something bad and try to cover it up so good that nobody will know. And so what happens is, with this conscious theory of change, because we have selected to do something wrong and the world cannot see it, right, then we begin to have an inner struggle, which leads us right back to spiritual conviction. So actually what you're going to find out is spiritual conviction versus conscious theory of change is that either way it go, and I told you about the spiraling, even if we function under the conscious theory of change, which means that our behavior is either good or bad, we're still going to spiral back to a spiritual conviction. Either way it goes. Because the conscious theory of change deals with the good and the bad. If you choose the good, then you was convicted the first time. If you choose the bad and you go ahead and carry out that evil deed, right, then there's a change in your demeanor. There's a change on the inside that's going to perpetuate itself on the outside, and then you're going to face the spiritual conviction, all right? The second topic, manifestation of two, which is the Holy Spirit and evil. There's a verse in the Bible that says you reap what you sow, and it's very true. We reap what we sow. Whatever we reap, right, is because of the things that we've sown. So therefore, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the spiritual conviction of goodness. When we talk about evil, we're talking about the conscious theory of change. And so either way it go, however we live our lives, whether we live it in a good way, whether we live it in an evil way, it's going to show up. It's kind of like when I want you to try this. I want you to place a sponge deep in the water, just in your bathtub. I'm not even going to tell you to go out in the lake or river or anything. Just place it in the bathtub, okay? Don't run that much water. Place the sponge. Just place it in your bathtub. Run water over it. That sponge is going to finally trickle up to the top. Why? Because when we think about this, there was a change from stagnation to movement, and that's the concept of spiritual conviction, stagnation to movement. The water represents our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord says you have to be baptized, right? Because that's a cleansing. And so the sponge, when you look at the sponge, if you really want to see a picture of the spiritual conviction and what we're doing, just put a sponge in your bathtub. Don't run any water in it. Just put it in there. Then put water in it, right? And fill the water up, you know, halfway, whatever. And that sponge will come to the top because of the water. And that's the whole purpose of spiritual conviction. That's what happens when the Lord comes into our life. We come from this stubbornness, and then everything begins to surface. And even if you're doing the right thing, you can still use the sponge activity, because whatever you're doing, whatever's inside of your heart, is going to come up on the outside, and you're going to be able to see it. So that's the concept of that, and we're going to talk more about that. Cognitive versus concrete. When we talk about the cognitive aspect of life, we're actually talking about the mind, the process of the mind, and we're going to talk about this. The things that people actually go through before or the things we actually go through before we do something that is not conducive or that is not pleasing unto God. And then we're going to go to the concrete. And the concrete has to do with knowing right from wrong, but we continue to do the same things I said before because we can get away with it, or we feel like we can get away with it. So it's the continuation, right, of doing something, and I continue to say this, continuation of doing something that we know we're not supposed to do. So that's just the whole purpose when we look at the cognitive part and the concrete part, you know. And when we look at things being concrete, it's set in stone. We know that we have the Ten Commandments, right? So we know we're supposed to follow the Ten Commandments. We know that God created the heavens and the earth. That's a non-negotiable. There are concrete things. But because we tend to live We tend to live a life partial to what God expects us to do. We tend to make up our own things. You know, we'll make up how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do that's really contrary to the Word of God. Okay? So cognitive versus concrete, and we're looking at the Word of God in that particular faucet. The Word of God, which is very concrete, and we're thinking about the mindset, which the mindset has a side for spiritual conviction and it has a side for our consciousness. If we can ever get people to put the consciousness and the spiritual conviction together, then we will have whole individuals. But what happens is, and the reason why Jesus said we do not reach perfection until death is because no one has been successful at reaching or putting the cognitive part with the concrete part, because there are times where people deviate from the Word of God. Even the good people, even the preachers, ministers, evangelists deviate for whatever reason, because of the environment, the circumstance. Okay? And so if we could get as close as we could to the concrete and the cognitive aspect of life, we can begin to develop the whole person. So that's in the middle of it. Then we just come out with the good versus evil, period. You know, God is really God versus the devil and his tactics. And the question is, whose side are we on? You know, imagine playing a game. Are you playing to win or are you playing to be defeated? If you're working for the devil, you plan on being defeated. If you're working for God, you're planning to win. Simple as that. There is no philosophy, theories, nothing of that nature. It's just cut and dry. Either you're living to win or you're living to lose. That's how it goes. So we're going to talk about that in depth, and then we're going to talk about a study of how the devil dresses up sin. You know, I thought about the part where the devil took Jesus and showed him all of this land, which belonged to Jesus Christ himself, and he made it look all nice and good, you know. And that's how the devil tempts us. He tempts us by dressing up sin, but it's still sin if you uncover it. And that's how we get into the story with Adam and Eve, right? Because they were clothed at first. But then all of a sudden, Jesus comes back and finds that they're naked, right? And that's because the devil dressed up the sin. And we have to be very careful about those things when the devil does that, because it's called temptation, okay? So we're going to really, as I said before, we're going to really look at spiritual convictions. We're going to really look at all of those different aspects, spiritual conviction, the cognitive process, good and evil, right and wrong, because it is a process. It really is. And believe it or not, earlier I said that spiritual conviction takes a long time. It takes a long time to really explain and get into depth. That's why it takes a whole semester almost, or the rest of this year, every Monday. But God says that when individuals become aware of spiritual conviction, it's actually a quick process, because we can't pinpoint when the Lord is going to convict someone spiritually. But I can tell you that I'm going to teach different aspects on Mondays, but the unction and the Spirit of the Lord says that because the people are aware and because the people understand and realize that there is such a thing as spiritual conviction, and so that they will not be wondering what's happening to people and what's going on, then God move in his own time. And that could be at a quick rate or that could be at a slow rate. Okay? So I want you to know that spiritual conviction is coming. I want you to know that you're going to see a lot of things changing. I want you to know that things are going to be different in the atmosphere. There is a shift in the whole atmosphere, in the whole universe. I can tell you that. And it's largely due, and the Spirit of God says, to spiritual conviction, believe it or not. A lot of people will not believe that things are changing because of spiritual convictions. A lot of people will think that the topic of spiritual conviction is just something to scare people. They will think that spiritual conviction is not real until things begin to happen. I'm going to tell you this. The revelation says that the whole universe is changing. The whole universe is changing because things have to get better. People have been praying for years. And this is the season, this is the century where things will begin to focus on the spiritual conviction piece. If you think about a globe and you think about the circling part of the equator, you know, just think that's going to be the whole gamut of spiritual conviction. And a lot of people do not understand what spiritual conviction is. You're not going to understand why people are changing. You're not going to understand why attitudes are changing. You're not going to understand why people are trying to rush to church. You're not going to understand why you have flooding. You're not going to understand why you have wars and rumors of wars. You're not going to understand any of that. We're not going to understand any of that. But it comes back to spiritual conviction because God has to get us to believe in him again because he's coming back, and there has to be a preparation. We know the Bible. Okay, most people know the Bible. If you ask them to turn into Leviticus, Numbers, Psalms, Genesis, if you ask them to turn into those passages, they could do it. But if you ask them about spiritual conviction, people begin to get scared and cringe up because that topic is really not known. And what's coming, ladies and gentlemen, is that this whole universe is getting ready to shift. There's a shifting in the atmosphere. There's a change. And part of this ministry is to prepare people for the change. The Lord spoke spiritual conviction. People's hearts are going to change. It has to get better in Chicago. People's minds are going to change. People have to stop committing murders and put the guns down. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. If the Lord has to use weather, he's going to use it to get our attention. I'm telling you that now. If he has to use other mechanisms to get our attention, he's going to do it. So it's best that we go ahead and surrender ourselves unto God. And it's best that we go ahead and be honest with God and we come back to what the Lord wants us to do. As I said before, there is no secret. We all know that we are wanted by God. We all know that God is good. We all know that God is able. You know, God's not going to force us, you know. But when it comes to a spiritual conviction, the Lord forces his way in. If we refuse to surrender, people have to start telling the truth. The truth has to manifest itself through the word of God, you know. And so those particular things are coming up, and it's very important that we teach people how to walk in the will of God, period. That's just how it is, okay? So without further ado, I'm going to play at least about 3 songs. And when I finish playing these 3 songs, I'm going to go ahead and go with the announcements. And on tomorrow, please join me as we will have Ms. Keisha J., who will join us on tomorrow. And then we're going to carry on with other artists and guests. So without further ado, I'm going to play I Need You to Survive. And this is by Sister Juanita Bynum. Just a second. And this is actually 9 minutes. So listen to the song. Listen to the song.
Tonight, I believe this, that it is the will of God. have is be supplied. Oh, how many of y'all feel that? Turn around. Don't be scared. Cause don't want to have church, but they praying. Tell them I
That was Dr. Juanita Bynum with I Need You to Survive. Our next artist that we're going to listen to is Mr. Lionel Richie, entitled Jesus Is Love. That was Mr. Lionel Richie with Jesus Is Love. Our last song is entitled What a Friend We Have in Jesus by the Mississippi Mass Choir. This is led by the late Reverend James Cleveland, who is also one of my all-time favorite gospel artists. And so I would like to play this one song, and then afterwards we'll go to our announcements, and I will bid you farewell, and be sure to tune in with me on tomorrow at 3 o'clock as we invite one of our guests, Ms. Keisha J., to the Love of Jesus Up Ministry. Without further ado, this is the late Reverend James Cleveland. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen.
like this. What? Y'all ever sung it like that? Oh, praise. Hallelujah. Somebody here ought to know what we're talking about. Oh, of sin and oh, I know you know it better than that.
All right, that was the late Reverend James Cleveland with What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I'm going to go ahead and begin with our announcements, and then after our announcements, I have one more song. All righty. Please be sure to encourage your family and friends to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedalove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. The Spiritual Guide to Go is online. It's at barnesandnobles.com. It's also at follis.com. That's FOYLES.com. It's also at bookworld.com, as in BOOKWHIRL.com. It's also at amazon.com, amazonuk.com. If you just type in The Spiritual Guide to Go by Dr. Alfreda Love, you will find that particular guide. In addition to that, gospel artists, promoters, actors, actress, community leaders, please, Facebook, Alfreda Love at ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the ministry. Be sure you're praying for 120 individuals. If you have to put, if you have to pray for all of your family members, put them all in one line and pray for them one by one, and do not forget to pray for yourself. CWC is going well thus far in that we are connecting with Christ and we're sending out letters, and individuals are actually going outside of the church walls, making a difference in the prospective community. So we thank you for that. As you do know, we will have our spiritual conviction classes, which will start. Actually, our second class will be on next Monday, and I have some topics that we're going to discuss in depth. So please be sure to bring your paper and pencil, bring an open mind, and bring your heart. In addition to that, just make sure that you tune in tomorrow at 3 o'clock as we're expecting Ms. Keisha J. To come onto the ministry and to share her ministry with us. Also, check out her CD, I Won't Complain. I will also play that on the ministry on tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Also, make sure that you just continue to watch the Facebook page as other updates and news is coming for the Love of Jesus ministry. The Lord is really doing some great things with this ministry and taking us to some great places, as well as allowing us to speak, amen, in several venues and several places about the Word of God. So that is much appreciated. Please be sure that you just continue to stay prayed up and continue to allow the Lord to manifest himself in your life, and you will find that your life will be much simpler, and that your worries will be cast upon the Lord, who can actually fix every worry that you have. Continue to pray for those who you know of, and pray for those who you do not know of, because all of us need prayer, and the Lord said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So we want to make sure that we're praying. Before I leave this particular segment, I would like to always recommend our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's great. Get closer to him. If you do not have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I recommend that you find a relationship with him. That means to begin by reading the Word of God. You don't have to read the whole Bible, but start somewhere and begin to read the Word of God and taste and see that the Lord is good, because every day with the Lord is sweeter than the day before. I recommend that you come unto Christ. I recommend that you get to know Christ on a personal level and not just hear it from someone else, not just hear someone else's testimony. But the Lord will always give you a testimony to give to other people, because the Lord is able to bring us out of any situation, any storm that we may endure. So be sure to please, please, please form a relationship with the Lord, because as I said before, the Lord is coming back, amen, and it's not something to scare people with. It's not something to, be scared of, but it's a fact, and we have to prepare people. We have to let people know that it's time to make a turn, just like Saul did. It's time to turn our lives around and get things in order, because the Lord is coming. So without further ado, I would like to play the late Reverend James Evans. He's another great minister and artist that I truly love, and this is entitled There Is Room at the Cross, and there is room at the cross. You're never too young and you're never too old to come unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is never a situation in which you have done something so bad that you can't come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So therefore, without further ado, I'm going to play Reverend Clay Evans, There Is Room at the Cross. And I want to go ahead and tell you, if someone asks you what that big smile is all about, you be sure to tell them that love lifts you up, because God is love. And until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other, and be sure to join us at 3 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time on tomorrow, because we're expecting Miss Keisha J. And she has a new single, I Won't Complain. So without further ado, I would like to play the late Reverend Clay Evans, There Is Room at the Cross. Once this song goes off, then the station will also go off as well. And thank you so much for tuning in, and may God bless and keep you.
Those who come to him will in no wise cast out. And at the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ain't no me.
Years ago,